Well, God bless you all, and bless you on the conference call line. It's always wonderful to be together and to feast. We had a lovely dinner tonight, but the better part of the dinner is feasting on God's word. It says in Psalms that taste and see that the Lord is good, and he is very good. So we're going to chew on some of his word tonight. The subject of the love of God is shared a lot. In fact, the last part of the manifestations was about the love of God, and Bob McCall did a wonderful job last week ago Monday on the love of God. And yeah. And I wanted to share another aspect of the love of God that I think will bless you. The love of God is something that never fails, something we can hold on to because God is love. That's who he is. And when he created us, he put that love in us as well, within that spirit. And we manifest that love because we are children of God. That's who we are, right? As the song says. The one thing that must go along with love is forgiveness. And in a marriage and any relationship, love and forgiveness are very important. And especially for us, because we were born a natural man, because of Adam and Eve sinned. So we had to be redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. We weren't redeemed by the confession of our sins, but by confessing the Savior of our sins. Very important. A lot of people think, well, what about if that's one sin that right now I can't remember it, but will God forgive me because of that sin?
Of course.
We confess the Savior. He has taken away our sins. It says that our sins are forgiven as far as the east is from the west. God gives and forgets them. And the east and the west is the best because they never come together. North and south do, but the east and the west never does. So it's he forgives, he hears, forgives, and we need to forget. That's a part of our lives. In Matthew 22, if you want to look at this, verses 37 and 40, it's the two great commandments that hangs all the law and the prophets. Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We understand loving God, but do we understand loving ourselves is the standard to loving one another? Very important that we love ourselves. And sometimes that's really hard because we think about all the crazy things that we've done. And what the adversary does is he brings it all back. So we have to have the knowledge and understanding of really how God looks at us, because that's the only way to fight what the adversary is doing. And as Joyce Meyer says, the battlefield is the mind. Everything starts up here. That whole battle is going. The adversary, he knows what we've done, and he reminds us of what we've done. But does God? No. He doesn't remind us. In fact, when he looks at us, he sees us as perfect. So that's where we, to learn to love one ourselves, when we love ourselves, then we can love one another. But until we get that big part. And how do we love ourselves? We love what God loves about us. And he's made us perfect. He sees us and sees Christ in us. He sees his plan for us. He chose us before the foundation of the world, before everything else, because he wanted a family. That was his goal. And things got turned around a little bit in the garden, but it got straightened out with the Lord Jesus Christ and all the faithful people that received the word. And we must love and like ourselves. I was in a women's fellowship yesterday on Zoom, and this one gal says, you know, I don't even like to look in the mirror because I don't like how I look. And so one of the gals said, that's not very healthy. Because it says in the Word that we look in the mirror and we should see the glory of the Lord. You know, we don't need to see all of our freckles or our blemishes or wrinkles or anything. We want to see what God sees in us. And then that way we can truly love ourselves. Because we were chosen to be fully without blame. That's who we are. And we don't allow anyone else to give us an image of something different. Sure, if you went through a red light and you're so mad that you did that and you got caught, you feel really bad. But it's a piece of paper and it's only money. And you try better to not get so distracted that you go through the red light. But you don't condemn yourself. And that's one great thing about being a child of God is there is no condemnation. We need to be at peace with our past, content with our present, and sure of our future. Those are great words. We know our acceptance is not based on performance or perfect behavior. I have this sweatshirt on. Not perfect, just forgiven. I think that was appropriate for tonight. Mm-hmm. And that's who we are. We're not perfect, and none of these people that were in the Bible were perfect, because the only perfect man was the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was the only one that could redeem us and buy us back to be God's children. Mm-hmm. It's not our performance or our perfect behavior, but by grace, by the grace of God, God's divine favor, that we are who we are. We must be rooted and grounded in love. Our lives are based on who we are in Christ. That's our identity, and in what he has done for us. In Christ, we are perfect, forgiven, justified, righteous, made righteous. Don't you love who you have become in Christ? Mm-hmm. Right? The old man is dead and buried. Don't let Satan dig him up. Who you are in Christ, that's when you look at things that are kind of challenging, you think, wow, God chose me to be his child. And he's with us. You know, he chose us, and he didn't choose the church down the street to be where you could go and see him. He chose his dwelling in each one of us. You know, there isn't a temple that is made by hands that God dwells in. Mm-hmm. He chose his dwelling in us because he has that spirit in us, and that spirit can't be taken away. I don't care how bad you go or you are, he can't take it away because it's seed. Just like Maria's seed is in Janet, and Janet can't deny her mama. Right? That's how great it is. That's God's love. He made it permanent. Let's look at Ephesians 4:32. And I'm going to look at the Amplified. It says, and become useful, helpful, and kind one to another, tender-hearted. Be compassionate, understanding, loving, forgiving one another readily and freely, as God in Christ forgave you. Be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love. Forgive as God in Christ has forgiven you. That's the standard of forgiveness. And walk in love. Since our Heavenly Father forgives everyone through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, we are to forgive one another. There's one other person we need to forgive, and that is ourselves. Forgiving yourself is simply letting go of what you are holding on to, holding against you, so that you can move with God. And our past, if God has moved on, shouldn't we? Mm-hmm. I think we should. We are children of God. We should be thinking the way our Father thinks. And that's how we're going to see the more abundant life. That's how we're going to, he can bless us exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. He's so gracious, so giving, loving. That's amazing. Divorce, physical and sexual assault, abandonment, family rejection, neglect, sickness, depression, poverty, wrong choices, unhappy marriages. Those are the things that we need to forget, that we need to ask God to show us how valuable we are, because it's the adversary that causes those things. And greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. So we need to stand up against that and say, again, who am I but a child of God? And the Spirit of Christ in us. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. God is so good. And the song was, God is an awesome God, but we'll see it in his word instead of that. But Jeremiah 31:34 says, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will, and this is the NLT, I think, or maybe it's the Amplified, I will seriously remember their sin no more. Let's refuse to remember something God has chosen to forget. Stop punishing yourself for something that was done in the past. Romans 8 says that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. If God is for us, who can be against us? These are the things that we need to continue to build in our character as a child of God. There is no condemnation. That's a huge one. Romans 8:1. No condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And we aren't condemned because the past is forgotten. The future is ready for us to make good. Jesus died as a complete sacrifice for our sins. Guilt and regrets are invisible burdens that wear us out and steal our joy and fellowship with the Father. Guilt and regret are invisible burdens that wear us out and steal our joy. But we don't need to feel guilty. We've been forgiven. We don't need to have regret. Sometimes I second guess myself. I think, well, maybe I shouldn't have said that or should have done this. But our second chance is, okay, God, what do you want me to do? The best thing to do is to ask him what he wants us to do. And then the adversary can't say, well, you should have done that. So the important part of being a child of God is that fellowship with God. It says that we come boldly before his throne of grace. You know, a little child, even if you're in the bathroom, they open that door. They feel like they're welcome anywhere you are, because I'm mom. So we are the same way with God. We are welcome all the time. And he lives within us. His thoughts in it's Psalm 139. It says that, Psalm 139, verse 17. Let's look at that. This is a great chapter on how much God cares for us. It says 139:17. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am with you, still with you. I have been an accountant all my life, and sums and counting is part of my life. I take a step and I count it. But God counts. He thinks of us so much that more than the grains of sand. So how much do we think of him? You know, that's a really big part of our lives. The more we become who he wants us to be, and he has a path for us, and that path is that a blessing to us, not a burden. He says, be anxious for nothing. He doesn't even want us to worry about things because he wants us to trust him. So being a child of God is huge. But never think that God's not thinking about you. He thinks about us as if we were the only child that he had. My mom had 10 kids, and I always thought she was a little dingy because when she called on one of us, she'd go through the whole line. She'd get mad at someone. George, Jeannie, Mary Lou, Carol, Patty, Steve, whoever you are. And then we'd be out the door and she could never catch us. But God, He knows exactly what's going on. He knows our thoughts before we even speak it. There's a few individuals in the Bible that dealt with the potential condemnation. How about Adam and Eve? They had such a wonderful life, and yet they chose to deceived and disobey God. And what did they do after they realized they sinned? They hid themselves from God. And what did He do? He went looking for them.
Yeah.
You know exactly where they are, and they go, Adam, where are you? And He says, we hid ourselves from you. And you know what? And they had the little plant on them to protect, cover them. And what God did, He sacrificed an animal for their forgiveness and gave them clothes of animal skin. And He forgave them. But they could not continue where they were. And He continued to talk to them outside of the garden. But even Eve said, when she got pregnant, she says, I have a man from the Lord. She knew the promise that God would bring a redeemer. It just wasn't going to be her. Moses disobeyed God one specific time, and it kept him from going into the promised land. And yet he knew God. He was known. He knew God face to face as a man speaketh with his friend. Now that one sin did not prevent him in his relationship with God. How about King David, who had a man killed so that he could have the man's wife? And David was spoken of as a man after God's own heart. Peter denied Jesus three times. Condemnation could have consumed him because he loved the Lord. But he stayed faithful and received the Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people got born again that day because of the sermon that he gave. How about on the cross, Jesus cried, Lord, said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, all those people heard that. And you know, a lot of those people probably received the gospel after that. If they would have, that condemnation would have buried them, they wouldn't have received. He doesn't want condemnation to bury us. He doesn't want our past to bury us. What about the Apostle Paul? He went about killing Christians. And then he became born again, and he became one of the great apostles that wrote the book of the Holy Epistles, even in jail. He was faithful, and you know, God just forgives. Is there anything you can't forgive yourself for? We have to say no, because God has forgiven me, so I have to forgive myself. Even at the Bema, which is the judgment seat, when Christ comes back and we're all together, gathered together, we will receive rewards for our good works and what we did wrong. That won't be spoken of. Isn't that pretty amazing?
Thank God for that.
So do not allow yourself or your heart to have regret. Love yourself, forgive yourself, and love God and your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that wonderful? And that there's the in Luke chapter 15, I'm going to just quickly go through it, but it's the parable of the, some people call it the prodigal son. We prefer to call it the parable of the forgiving father, because it's the father that is the great emphasis there. But I wanted to look at the prodigal son. You think of, and think about how he thought, because he was a natural man. He didn't have the Spirit of God yet. The day of Pentecost hadn't come yet. Couldn't get born again. But he thought as a natural man, and sometimes we think as natural men and women. The son wanted his inheritance. He was tired of working for dad and being in the home. He was the second son, so he was only going to get a third of the inheritance. But he thought that was better to do his thing than to hang around with dad. Then the father loved him enough to say, here you go. He probably had to liquidate some things to get that money. But the son took it. He went to a far land. He abused the money in righteous living and found himself during a famine without anything. So he became a pig herder and worked within the swine. And when you work within the swine, you live with the swine and you eat what the swine eats. And then one day he decided, my father has all these servants and they are living a lot better than I'm living, so I'm going to swallow my pride. But some people, looking back, some people can't get to that point where they can swallow their pride and say, you know, I'm going to go back to where I'm loved. And that's a choice you have to make. It takes courage to ask for forgiveness and to live in forgiveness. So he went back and he rehearsed what he was going to say to his father. You know, I'm not worthy to be your child. Make me a servant. And in our lives, we are worthy because we are children of God. So we don't ever want to say, I am unworthy. The loving father did. He saw him. He came running after him. He looked for him to come. He saw him. He ran after him. And he didn't give him time to say, you know, I'm unworthy. I want to be your servant. He gave him, he protected him from condemnation by providing a robe, a signet ring, so he could again do the business for the father, and total forgiveness. So he quickly, one of the versions says, the father quickly forgave him. And that's what our lives are, and brought him back to dignity. And whenever we feel like we need to grovel or just feel like I'm worthless, we need to call one another. Go to God's word. Sit down and talk to God. Say, I'm struggling right now. You know, he knows every thought we have. And we want to enjoy that. Forgiveness is a choice that takes courage and strength. And it gives us the opportunity to become an overcomer rather than remain a victim of our own unrighteous unforgiveness. Forgive yourself and let the healing begin. Keep your thoughts on your Heavenly Father and who you are in Christ Jesus, and you will enjoy the peace that passes all understanding. And Jesus bequeathed us his peace. You know, he had a peace throughout it all. He didn't have an easy life. And yet he always knew he wanted to do the will of the Father, and that's what motivated him. God doesn't need our confession. He needs us to accept our identity in Christ.
Yeah.
Don't remind God of what you did wrong. Remind God of who you are. But I want to be with you, Father, because you love me, and I want to be around your people. And I want to think the best of one another, because that's what God thinks. When we get that, then we become more than a conqueror. We are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We represent him. We have the ability to do the works that he did. We can minister healing. We can minister deliverance. We can help people know the truth, and the truth will set us free. So allow the revelation of how loved you are throughout your whole body, knowing that God's word gives us that assurance. The family of God gives us that assurance. And when we enter his presence, we know that we are just truly loved. So if you go to him and ask him if there's things that are holding you back, and ask him to help you to get over it so that you can be loved, you can love yourself, and you can love one another. So that's what I wanted to share tonight.
Sure.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the tremendous love that you have for us, and that you've allowed us to be able to forgive ourselves and to just love on one each other and see your perfect will in this world. Thank you that we can bring heaven on earth and help people see how valuable they are, and that we can defeat the adversary, that we can stop him in his lies among the brethren. So I thank you for all that you do for us. I thank you for healing for each one of us, from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. I thank you for always answering our prayers and always giving us the answer that we need when we need the wisdom and understanding of what's going on, so that you get the glory. So I thank you for these things. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Mm-hmm.